This is Real Talk with Rodney Hyde. Tuesdays and Thursdays from 10 a.m.
I had a wee turn. You know, when you have that little bit of nervousness because there was no Sarah.
Oh, no.
And I felt that I was letting you down.
No.
And then I felt that I was letting listeners down. And have we got it beaming out to listeners, Dave? Perfect.
Great. Can you hear me okay?
I've got you beautifully loud and clear. How you been?
Good, good. I wanted to ask you about your jiu-jitsu, and I couldn't listen to the beginning part because I was kind of all focused on getting organized here to know how your kids went. Maybe I'll ask
when
we go live.
It was great. We're live now.
Oh, are we? Oh, oh.
Yeah, they went great. Jiu-jitsu is wonderful because after a while, you learn to put away winning and losing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I saw your interview that you did with
Steve Oliver.
Steve, yeah, on the RCR bikes. Yeah. And I wanted to know how the kid, yeah, I was anxious
and
to
it's
hear.
It's a very, very strange thing because obviously there are kids or people better than you at jiu-jitsu and you're better than some kids because you've been doing it longer or, you know, just stronger. But it actually doesn't matter. It's a strange sport. I've never known anything. They fight like hell and get medals. But what you realize more than anything I've ever seen, it's what you learn doing it.
Yeah. I think I think people miss that lesson about sport. They only see the competition of the win and the loss. And it's like, well, if you take a 10,000 foot view, aren't these amazing lessons that can come from your sport that you can carry through life?
And it's like they're 4 minutes long for the kids and you can end up traveling to Auckland. And in one case, I took my daughter to Las Vegas for a couple of four-minute fights.
That's right, yes.
And you think, this is ridiculous. But in that 4 minutes, there's about 10 lifetimes can pass and they come out the other side different, win or lose.
Yeah.
And in fact, funnily enough, my kids have improved them. Have improved the most, not in their jiu-jitsu, they do that as well, but improved mostly from the losses because it's one thing to lose at football or tennis. It's another thing to lose in a fight, right? And it's like I can't stand losing in chess. I find chess because you realize this person knows more than I do. And they can see stuff that I can't see, and it's irritating to me. And then with jiu-jitsu, they can fight better than me. They can beat me. And you can see that occurring in the kids. And then, you know, and then they get stuck and they've got to figure it out. And it's wonderful. Steve Oliver is just, he does an amazing competition. He's truly an amazing man. And would you mind if I had another chiropractor on my show?
No.
Called Jeff, your friend.
Jeff Alley. Yeah, he's great. Of course. He and I were at college together.
I know.
Yeah.
Because you know a funny thing.
That was the one because of his mum, your mum's relationship with him, right? I remember you telling me that story.
Yeah. So my mum went to him very, very often. And I interviewed Christine Smith, who's our homeschooling guru.
That's right. I interviewed with her as well.
She works for Jeff.
Yes, it's a small world.
Goodness me. I said, well, look, you know, I have Sarah on and check with Jeff because I'd love to have him on because I knew you would be of a similar philosophy.
Yeah.
Okay, we've cleared our throat. I've recovered from not having you on the show.
You got me now.
I got you now. Now, we did the first 10 things.
That's right. Keep
teaching your kids. I love it that you say keep teaching them. It's not teach them.
Yeah.
It's keep teaching them.
Yeah. Well, I think I will continue to teach them when I'm in my 80s, 90s, and even older. I think there will still be these lessons that I will pull out, these sayings, these opportunities to have them look at, you know, their life in a reflective way rather than a reactive way. And rather than for us, I want to teach my kid, kindness and good manners and empathy, et cetera. For me, it was like, no, that's just going to be a given. We're going to do that anyway. What are the bigger lessons that I know that will carry them forward in their relationships with their children above and beyond kindness and empathy and manners, et
I
cetera?
love it because it's well thought through. You've really thought it
Thank
through, and you and your husband. And there's nothing worse. What do you want for your kids? Oh, I just want them to be happy.
you.
And you think that is so vacuous because, in a funny way, if you want them to just be happy, you just feed them drugs and sit them in the corner or something, right? Because you do want them to actually experience life, and that means at times being jolly miserable.
Well, and if you remember, I might not have shared it with you, but there was this lady when our kids were really young on the
You told
Sunshine
me.
Coast. And she said she sat down at the picnic table and she asked me at 5:30, quarter to 6 in the morning, what do you want for your kids? And I was like, ah. And she said, and I said, I don't know, what do you want for yours? While I was thinking about how I was going to answer it. And she said, I just want my kids to be happy. And my reply was, well, I want my kids to experience everything. I want them to be happy and sad. I want them to have health and disease. I want them to have success and failure. I want them to have it all, because that's life.
You can't have light without darkness.
Yes, that's right, Rodney. You can't have light without darkness. You can't have a male without a female. You can't have
No.
light without, sorry, you can't have a sun without a moon, a high tide without a
Yes.
low tide, obesity without famine, and you can't have a win without a loss.
Yes, quite. Now, number 11, Sarah.
All right, we're up to 11 or 10. Where did we finish
We
off?
did 10.
Did we do 10? Okay. So the next one is say no to drugs, over the counter, prescribed or scheduled. So I have this saying, Rodney, little things when they're little turn into bigger things when they're bigger. And if we're constantly giving our children a medication for something that they have created consistently, then when they get older, they're going to turn for something that they want something to take whatever it is that's away. Now, if we step back a bit and we look at this the journey of the child in the household, because I have this in my second book, The Health Illusion, I have this chapter called Drug Pushers Are Closer Than We Think. And it all starts in the home, and it starts with, little Johnny has a fever, little Johnny has a cold or a skin rash or whatever, and we're going to give them something to take something away. And then as and they're taught that, here you go, Johnny, this will make you feel better. And so now we know, based on past research, that at the age of around 10 to 12, that children in the schoolyard are now peddling drugs, especially in the US. So now little Johnny is becoming a teenager and is going through some chemical changes in their body, and a lot of which can be suicidal thoughts. They don't want to have those thoughts. So now little Johnny's got, his mate Billy at the school, and Billy's like, oh, just have my Xanax, mate. It'll be fine. It'll take the edge off. So all of a sudden, we go from the house, which is peddling drugs and pushing them to our children, and then we go into the schoolyard, and the school peer group becomes the peddler of the drugs. And then the parents get wind of, young Johnny in the schoolyard having a drug, and the parents are going, no, we don't do that, Johnny. We don't take drugs. And so there's this double-edged sword for children, where it's okay if the parent gives it to you, but it's not okay if someone else gives it to you. So we have this dichotomy going on and this confusion that we have with children. So for us, raising our kids was very much about having no medication over the counter, prescribed or scheduled, and just making sure that we take care of them from a neurological perspective, because again, that's the nerve system is the master communicating system of the body, and it innervates everything. And so if we can take great care of that, then little Johnny's peaks and valleys are not going to be extreme. They're going to be, bouncing along in a very what do you call it? Not a vast distance. If I can give you the picture of a valley and a
It
mountain.
makes so much sense, doesn't it, that if you every time you're sick, you get a pill, that you go to school and a kid gives you a pill, and yet when you're a kid, you're not going to say, "Ooh, I'm not sure the government approves of that one." It doesn't enter your head. It's you've got the logic.
And the logic is, here you go, darling, this will make you feel better. And because we've charged them so much with feel, you don't want to feel that, you don't want to have that, rather than looking at, you know, the win and the loss, rather than going, okay, why have you created this? For what reason have you created this? The body has created whatever it needs to create for the benefit of growth and development in some way, shape, or form. So whether that be physical, chemical, or emotional. And, you know, if we look at the word feeling, Rodney, in and of itself, if we cut off the last letters of that, the first three letters of feeling spell fee. And there is a price that you pay when you approach health by taking something for something to have it go away. And the price can not only be the plethora of medications you may end up on, it can be your life too. So for us, we chose to say no to drugs over-the-counter prescribed or scheduled. Scheduled, I mean vaccines, because we know, and this probably brings in our next point, that that you have an innate intelligence. So the next point there is to live this vitalistic life and to attune to your innate intelligence. And the innate intelligence of the body, I believe as a society, as a country, as a community, as a world, we've lost sight of the genius that actually lives inside of us, this ability of our innate intelligence to know when to blink the eyes. It knows, you know, how many heartbeats to have, you know, the 20,000 beats it does. It knows how much saliva to release per day, which is about 1.5 liters into the mouth.
Wow.
It knows how to digest.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it is a food. It knows how to slough your skin. It knows how to, you know, have peristalsis action to move the fecal material out of your body. So we have this innate intelligence inside of us. And teaching our children to really attune to that innate intelligence. And if we look at development-wise, I might have shared this before with our listeners, that when you look in utero, the first 3 weeks of life is the energetic connection of the cells. They're vibrating at a high, high, high rate in order to bring those cells together. And then at the third week, the notochord is formed. And the notochord is your central nervous system and your spinal cord. And then the innate intelligence of the body said, this is so important to your life, I'm going to encase it in bone. But it's the notochord, that rudimentary, that beginning of the nerve system that all other things come off of. And if we look at the body from that intelligent perspective, then you're kind of like, wow, my kidneys got formed from that, and my stomach and my bowels and my bones and my brain, you know, my ears, my eyes, my mouth, everything came from that, you know, that first beginning of that notochord at 3 weeks in utero. So why wouldn't we think that our body is remarkable in its ability to change and adapt to life if we truly see that we are a self-healing, self-regulating, self-maintaining and self-regenerating organism that's constantly adapting to life? So teaching our kids to attune into their innate intelligence will help guide them through life, again, physically, chemically, and emotionally.
Isn't it wonderful and a miracle, the making of babies, and to be a woman and you actually make a human being inside you?
Yeah.
It's sort of an everyday thing that we so take for granted.
Yeah.
You grow a whole human being inside you. And, you know, I think about these things a lot now because they're trying to destroy womanhood.
Mm.
I don't know who they are, but the whole superstructure
going on,
of government and media. And yes, and that idea that your body's not broken, your body is marvelously attuned, and yet we're constantly advertised at or taught at that our body is broken, that we have these things wrong with us, and we have things wrong with our minds, and we need a chemical fix.
Yeah, and I think two of the words, Rodney, that a lot of people use is better or worse. or wrong or better, you know, that kind of vernacular, that word. And I encourage people to use the words change and different. So if you wake up in the morning and you know, something has changed in your body or it's different, that's awesome. You know, you are again that adapting person to your life, and that adaptation, therefore we can start to track on things that are different and things that have changed, so that we can acknowledge that we have this innate intelligence. But coming from this position that something's worse and something's wrong is just denigrating to your system. There's a belief there that runs behind it, that there is no intelligence in the human body. Your body is working against you, and your body actually never works against you. It actually always wants you to be healthy, just like the seed that goes into the soil, and we put a rock on top of it, and it will always find its way to the light. And it's no different to the body, regardless of the assaults that we have in, like, you know, the thoughts, the trauma, and the toxins, or the physical, chemical, emotional. We have this ability to express health constantly, and your body always wants to be healthy, well, wants to be expressing the best that it can be. But at times, we obviously get that interference, and we don't express as well as what we could.
Number 13.
This is eat organic food, have your minerals and your camu-camu. And the for us, since 1992, we've been an organic household. We've raised our kids in that way. We've always had a veggie garden. And giving them good food. And when you provide good food for your family, you'll find that your children will crave good food. They won't crave the high sugars or the junk foods or the processed food. So everything in our house has pretty much been made from scratch. And the kids, with regards to minerals, so even though we are an organic household, we still have our minerals. So we have our own line of minerals. We have our organic colloidal minerals, and we have our magnesium. And we've always said to our kids, if you want to, you know, have great brain development, if you want to have great cell growth and regeneration, you want to have improved blood sugar levels, you want to have increased energy, be able to detox your body, and you want to play sport, you've got to have good bones. So your minerals, and not to be confused with colloidal silver, this is colloidal minerals. So there's like 72 plus minerals in it. You've got to have that every day. And then also the magnesium, everyone is so depleted in magnesium, so they have that as well. And that obviously aids in relaxation, helps with digestion, calms the nerves or anxiety, and it's great for the formation of bones and teeth. And then we've got a camu camu. So of course, vitamin C is camu camu. It's the highest vitamin C, the richest source of it anywhere in the world. And of course, that is just great for general health too. So our kids all have organic food, you know, their minerals and their camu camu. And the next one is, I guess they're blessed in this way because we've said to them, receive a chiropractic adjustment every week of your life. And since they were, you know, a few minutes old, they have received chiropractic adjustments from us, and they have done every week. Like I said, Friday is our adjusting day because they all go and play sports and make sure that they have a finely tuned system prior to going and playing their sport. So you make better decisions. Decreased, and because you have make better decisions as a result of, you know, neurological integrity within your body, then you're going to have less injuries, increased flexibility, faster recovery times. So there's lots of benefits to making sure that you get adjusted prior to your sport, just like Formula One, Rodney. You know, like the latest, you know, Max Verstappen, he would go out and fine tune his car before he races. He's not going to go to the pit crew and go, you know what, just, you know, tune the car up afterwards because I'm just going to go out and flog it. No, you want to be finely tuned for better decision making prior to going out for your sport.
I love you. I love everything that you say. I struggle with this one, so I'm going to push you a little bit
Okay.
because I'm sure you're right, but I just want to understand it better.
Yeah.
If you do this chiropractic adjustment every week, how long does it take?
Oh, it's not long. Look, your first appointment is going to be long because we want to take a thorough health history so that we can map everything together physically, chemically, and emotionally to understand you as a person, and what your body is expressing at that point in time. And then after that, then your appointments are not as long. However, Rodney, I'm not speaking on behalf of the chiropractic profession here, because there are like 80 different techniques, and each one is different in and of itself. So, some can be longer, some can be shorter, some can be
Okay,
minutes
but
long.
what would you be doing for your kids each week when they were growing up? 10 minutes, 30 minutes?
No, like their adjustments are probably maybe 10 minutes.
Well, okay.
Yeah. And again, it's because with our kids, it's different. Like, I'm doing a lot of observation of our children throughout the week and what's going on. So when you go to adjust them, again, it's intuitively and over decades of being in practice, knowing where your hands go and what to do and how everything's mapped together. So for us, it wasn't necessarily talking so much at the front end with what's going on, in their bodies. It was, we just had this intuitive understanding of what was occurring and where they were in their development cycle, all of those kinds of things that come into play.
To do that chiropractic adjustment, how trained do you have to be? Could a parent learn to do it for their child?
No, I would not go and do a weekend chiropractic adjusting
Okay.
course. That's like going to the mechanic for your car and saying, "Can you fix my computer?"
Okay.
Like, they're very and it's long. We've been training in chiropractic. It's 5 years here at the Chiropractic College in New Zealand. It's considered one of the best in the world. And then you've got additional after that. If you want to specialize in pediatrics or in children, then you've got another couple of years on top of that. So, you're looking at 5, 7 to 9 years, 10 years, depending on what you do post your initial study. So it is intensive, and lots of physics and chem and anatomy and physiology and neurology, spinal anatomy, etc.
Well, my wife has found a local chiropractic. Is that the word?
Chiropractor.
Yeah. Who's
Lovely.
obviously very much in your philosophy. So we're very excited and has helped her back. But I've got a final
Fantastic.
question on number 14.
Yes.
How do you square that with this idea that our body is sort of perfectly adapted to the world, but it needs this?
Because you are constantly changing. That we're not this stagnant. The body is not stagnant, the body is dynamic. And because we are constantly changing and adapting and self-regulating, self-maintaining organisms that are constantly adapting to our life, then at the seat of that is your nerve system. So taking care of that is going to be vitally important to your health.
But
It's no difference.
why can't it take care of itself?
Well, that would be like saying, can the digestive tract take care of itself?
Yes.
And it can, but over time, there's garbage in, garbage out. There are challenges with foods that get put into the body. Digestive system creates havoc, right? It's no different to your nerve system. We're just not taught to think about our nerve system in this way.
Okay.
But when you think about the microbiome, lots of people put probiotics now into their system to, and that kind of philosophy would be similar. Even though
Well,
we can't see it, right? We can't see our nerve system.
yeah.
That's the other part of it as well, the magic part of it.
Yeah. Number 15.
Your nerve system, well, I think we will probably skip that one now. The nerve system's the master
Oh,
communicating
yes.
system. Yeah, take good care of it. Yeah,
I
of
like
course.
16. I love 16.
Yeah, be in the sun without the sunscreen and swim in the oceans of the world. And we, forever and a day, Rodney, have played in the sun for hours. So our home education was spent up to 4 hours a day in the sun on a tiny beach on Waiheke Island, and we would swim in the ocean and bathe in the sun, and we would converse, and we would eat, and we would chuck the rugby ball around, chuck the other balls around, do cartwheels, make sandcastles. So it was, and again, for us, it's always about being responsible in the sun, right? It's not about burning the skin necessarily, but how can you be in the sun responsibly? So we would go in the mornings to around 10. We would then come in and we would have lunch, and then we would go back out at around 2:30, 3 o'clock to around 5. And it was the sun is, you know, if it's always shining somewhere in the world, right? It's always there. So if we look at our body again as this innate intelligence, the skin is the largest organ of the body. It breathes for us. So why would we want to lather it with ingredients that are so chemically laced and made in a laboratory from the petrochemical pharmaceutical industry? Why would we want to put that onto our skin? And we can always all remember, right? I'm sure you remember it, Rodney, the slip, slop, slap
Oh,
campaign with Sid the Seagull, I think it
I
was.
never believed that.
Yeah, and you got to, the question you have to ask is what are the rates of, you know, cancer from that campaign? You know, where are the stats? And I'd hate to, you know, I hasten to say that I would say they're probably not in the direction that we thought the campaign that was promoting it hasn't received the result that it has. So because you can't put something on the largest organ of your body and it, not expect it not to react. So for us, it was always about being in the sun responsibly and making sure that we were getting the sun. It wasn't until our kids got older, though, Rodney, and they were playing high-level sport in you know, New Zealand teams and state team or region teams, they're out there for like 7 hours at a time, that I was like, okay, I'm gonna work out how I can make our own sunscreen. And I have that on our website at vital-wellbeing.com if people want to go and have a look. It's just called sunskin, I think I called it. It's like having a second skin. And it's all from food, you know, so you know, it's lovely. And it smells great.
There you go.
So people can go and have a look at that if they would like to. The next one then is, which I think is really important, place the conversations happening in our head on the table to be shared as a family. We will all benefit. And I can't tell you how many conversations we have had. My favorite memory is of a conversation that we all had. It was on New Year's Eve. It went for 5 hours, and we sat
Whoa.
at the table, and we were, sorry, we sat on the couch in the lounge room, and we were talking about what goals we wanted for the next year. But everyone as a family having input, like even for us with business questions, we would ask the kids, well, what do you think? And this is when they were young as well as when they're older. And on our wedding day, Rodney, this is something that families might like to do. When we were older, when we got married, my mother-in-law gave us a talking stick. She made this stick on her farm and she decorated it and she said, here's the talking stick. Whoever has the stick has the floor and you respect that. And so we had it at our wedding, and then we just flowed it through into the conversations with kids. And we would sit on the couch and we would have the talking stick. Whoever had the stick had the floor, and we would all listen intently to help them with whatever may be going on in their head at the time. And so if something had come up for the kids during the day, we didn't have the time to go through it or dive deep into it, we would say, let's place it on the table tonight. And so that's what we would do. And at dinner time, we would have those conversations with the kids. And lots of what we've already gone through, what we keep teaching our kids, lots of these sayings would come, you know, would come up as a result of the conversations that we were having. So I think it's important as a family, regardless of what's going on, is to make sure that you have your eyes on. Everyone gets to benefit when everyone's eyes are on a particular person's situation, because we are a nucleus. We are a family. We're all born into it.
It's amazing how much it's changed so fast because we used to have dinners. Many families now don't have dinner together. And then we used to have those Sunday evenings where you'd play cards or board
Yeah, that's right.
games.
Where you go to your grandparents and have the roast
Yeah,
lamb
that's
and
right. And I
yeah.
mean, life is so different now for kids.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. 18, education and learning occur everywhere, every day, every minute of your life.
Yeah. So, you know, for us, lots of people say about home education, just for as an example, oh, I couldn't home educate. And a lot of people see that education must be from 9 to, you know, from 8 o'clock in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And that's not true at all. Education starts from the minute they wake up to the minute they go to bed, and probably even while they sleep. So for us, It was always about what can you learn today? What can you learn that's new? How can you challenge yourself? Because learning occurs everywhere. And even now, Rodney, you know, the kids are so much older at 22 and just turned 20 yesterday and about to turn 18 in December. And I still say goodbye to them and say, learn something new. So their day is very much driven by not necessarily the mundane, or I'm going to work to do this again. It's like, I'm going to go to work, but how can I learn something new in that process? So it helps to keep our neurons alive. You know, when I say neurons alive, neurons, you know, attuned to looking for different things rather than just the mundane of, you know, going through the motions of work. Yeah. And then number 19 would be express all of yourself, not just a part of yourself. And I have this saying, and this is probably a big piece. We could have spent like the whole time so far just talking about this one piece. And maybe we will do a show just on this one. But what gets suppressed gets expressed. I can't tell you how this has held in great stead for us as a family going forward. And it's something that I very much teach to parents. So I'm going to give you an example of this. When I did my first book, The Vital Truth, there was a publishing company in the US that was very much interested in taking it on. But the way in which they were going to market my book was very mechanistically driven. And I didn't want that. And our second boy, who is probably the most similar to myself, he can make a decision really quickly, knows what he wants, knows what he wants to wear, gets up, is in the day, he's switched on. And at this particular time, when I was umming and ahhing about going with this publishing company out of the US, because there was, you know, I won't lie, there was, you know, money there to be had if I went with this company. And I couldn't make the decision for 4 weeks. Anyway, every morning when I would wake up, our middle boy, he couldn't make a decision for peanuts, right? He didn't know if he wanted to wear shorts or jeans, or whether he wanted, you know, avocado, or whether he wanted almond butter. It just could not make a decision, and it was driving me insane. And this went on for 4 weeks, and then I woke up in the morning one morning, and I said to my husband, "You know what? I'm just going to go up. I'm going to email the company and just say no. I'm not going to go with them." And so I did. I went upstairs and I emailed them, told them the reasons why, came back down, and all of a sudden, there's that second boy, bang, back to who he was. He could make a decision. He could,
Oh,
he
wow.
could, he could, he knew what he wanted to eat, he knew where he wanted to go. So the
How
bigger 10,
freaky is that?
yeah, so the 10,000 foot view of this is that it's not usually 90% of the time. I would be quite happy in saying that 90% of the time it's not about the children. It's usually about the parent. So if there's something that you are seeing in your child that you see them struggling with, you've got to ask yourself the question, where am I doing that exact same thing in my life? And then own it, and then you'll see the transformation that happens in your child. So our children, as the nucleus family, are the greatest gifts that they can give to us as parents, as individuals, that enable us to grow and help us in our own path. It's, you know, this symbiotic relationship that we have is extraordinary. But really, the take home from this one is what gets suppressed gets expressed. It doesn't matter who's doing the suppression, or who's doing
Oh,
the ex
Sarah, sorry, we lost you for a moment.
Oh, did you just
Yes.
then? Oh.
So I'm so pleased you popped back. There must have been a glitch in the matrix.
No, no worries.
You were just saying before we were rudely interrupted. You were just saying that 90% of the time, if you're observing something in your children, it's the parents.
Yeah, so whenever there's a challenge in the household, whenever there's a challenge with a child, pause. Ask yourself, whatever you are seeing in that child, ask yourself where you're doing the exact same thing in your life, and then own it. So for me, I couldn't make a decision. This child, our child, the second child, couldn't make a decision for nuts, but could always make a decision prior to me having this challenge. And it wasn't until I owned that, went and made the decision, came back, he's back to
That's
what he
freaky.
was.
But what a powerful thought. and a powerful
So there's
insight.
lot. I mean, there's lots of situations in our household with that, and lots of people that we've helped along the journey. Of understanding health in a different way. Physically, chemically, and emotionally, that are that we've been able to help just through that one piece alone. What gets suppressed gets expressed.
Oh my goodness. And to stop the folic acid, I wonder if that was just in the bread and the flour. You'll have to let me know. That's wonderful. Sorry, Sarah,
That's
you're
okay.
dipping
I was
out and
talking away
dipping
to
in.
myself and then you dropped out. I was like,
I
oh,
know, but we got a wonderful text in support of chiropractors. So
oh,
let's
lovely.
us go now to the last one.
So the last
Plenty.
one is in helping others, you help yourself. So
How true is
for
that?
yeah, and for us, it was always about, okay, how do we help our nucleus family? How do we help our community? How do we help our town? How do we help our city? How do we help our region? How do we help our country? How do we help the world? Kind of in that order. And for us, it was, where can you give to others so that you may receive in return? And I think going through, well, not I think, I know going through life, it's very much about the character of who you are. It's not about what you've done and your achievements. It's that people will want to be around people they like, know, and they trust.
And don't you love generous people?
Yes.
I mean,
Yeah.
there's something about generosity. It's just the
Yeah.
most wonderful trait.
Yeah. You're like
And
that, Rodney. Yeah, I think
oh,
you're like that. You have
I
this big heart, the generosity of your heart and your the embracing of the people and their
mm.
stories, and it's
And
lovely.
there's nothing worse than selfishness.
I agree.
I want to read you the text that we got now that I've
Okay.
got you.
Okay.
And you comment. Hi, Rodney and Sarah. Last year, I was waiting for a ring from the school to discuss ADHD in my then 8-year-old. His brain was in overdrive, finding it difficult to wind down at bedtime, frequent bedwetting, and a tic. A friend recommended testing for MTHFR gene. Folic acid was poisoning him. Stopping it was amazing, and bedwetting stopped. He was able to drop off bed, a tic mostly gone, not wired. But recently, I took him to a chiropractor. She looked into the gene and treated his nervous system through chiropractic care. We see an amazing calmness in him that we've never seen before. Thanks, chiropractors. Does
Lovely.
that ring for you?
Yep, that rings. Yep, that absolutely rings for me. And it rings for me in the way that, as an 8-year-old, he's been in his physical body, is now coming into his chemical body. So he's had a massive change between the ages of 6 to 8, where their cranium changes and they come out of that physical, go into the chemical. So they have more production of the chemical. So, the neurological support that he would receive and the calmness of the nervous system as a result of that is just, it's beautiful.
And the folic acid.
And I'm so grateful. Yeah, well, again, it's that, how would you say, the looking
Process.
at the physical, the chemical, and the emotional aspects of the child is going to be of greatest benefit for them. If we look at it like a three-legged stool, if we're only looking at one leg, then the stool's just going to always fall over. But addressing all of those areas, I think, is vitally important. So the hail to the mum for taking her to
Isn't that
him to a chiropractor, and more so, Rodney, just thinking outside the box, like
yes.
going and being responsible as a parent and going, no, this does not make sense. I'm not going to keep medicating my child or putting something into it to take something away, which is just, diminishing and turning down the dimmer switch on the body. Let's go and think differently and see how we can help to shine his light. And look what she's done. How great's that?
You've given me such a lot of insight for my own children. You're
Thank you.
very, very wise, Sarah. Very, very wise. I love it. Now,
Oh.
for listeners, you can find Sarah's webpage. It's vital-wellbeing.com. And if you go to the blog, you're in for a treat. There's lots to read, but you can also search for 20 things we keep teaching our kids. And it's a great read. But the funny thing is, you read it too quick. You know what I mean? It's not like a newspaper article. And that was what was so wonderful, Sarah, about hearing you explain it.
I think you're right.
It's got to sit in your head a little bit. And it's again that thing of teaching. We always teaching our kids. It's not a thing that you teach them once and it's there forever.
Yeah.
It's not like riding. Yes. It's yeah. not like riding a bike.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. And do you know what? I encourage parents to go and do this exercise for themselves. You know, use our one as a template or to trigger some thoughts or things that they might find that they constantly say to their kids that they never really think about, and maybe write that down for themselves and you know, have that as something for their own, you know, within their own nucleus, family nucleus. But
Sarah, you're a beautiful, beautiful woman. Thank you. Give our love and best wishes to Randall, your husband.
Shall do that.
And I look forward to catching up with you soon. Hey, we did it live.
We did. We got through it, even with a few little like hiccups. But we
but that just adds to
that
the
makes
fun.
It fun.
Right? Yeah.
Well, like, made it stressful.
It's real. It's real. You take care, Sarah, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Rodney. Look forward to sharing next time.
You have a blessed day. Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas. From great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.